Good morning. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus 16. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarments shall be next to his body, and he shall be girded with a linen sash and attired with a linen turban. These are holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel two male goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the goat on which the lot for the Lord fell and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it, to send it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his bull and for his household, and he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony, lest he die. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, also in front of the mercy seat. He shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. And he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel and because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he shall do for the tent of meeting, which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. When he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of meeting until he comes out, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar on all sides. And with his finger he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it seven times and cleanse it and from the impurities of the sons of Israel consecrate it. When he finishes atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins, and he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of the man who stands in readiness. And the goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his body with water in a holy place and put on his clothes and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people. Then he shall offer up in smoke the fat of the sin offering on the altar. And the one who released the goat as a scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. But the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside the camp, and they shall burn their hides, their flesh, and their refuse in the fire. Then the one who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a permanent statute for you. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall humble your souls and not do any work, either the native or the alien who sojourns among you. For it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean from all your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement. He shall thus put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and make atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. He shall also make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. Now you have this as a permanent statute to make atonement for the sons of Israel for all their sins once every year. And just as the Lord had commanded Moses, so he did. Amen. This is the Law of Atonement, and seemingly this was spoken right after the two sons had committed their sin, but it's relayed later on in the writing here. But as soon as the two sons were slain at the altar, remember, Nadab and Abihu, is because of their sin. And so the Lord lays out certain criteria by which they're going to basically be able to make atonement for the people. And so he tells Moses to Aaron and to the Levitical priesthood that you can go just once a year into what we would call the Holy of Holies. This is, whenever they say the veil, that's what it means. It's behind the veil. And so only one time a year you're able to enter in. Any priest can enter the temple in this place, no problem. But inside the veil, in the Holy of Holies, only the high priest, and only once a year. And later on, this will become a permanent statute, which later, not now, but later, the Israelites, the Hebrews, will call this Yom Kippur. And what it means is it's actually Yom is a day, Kippurim, which is the days of Purim, which relate to Esther and Esther's fast. So the 10th day, they come in and they enter into a season of fasting. And I'll talk about this at the end of this year when we talk about fasting, because it is the holiest day. What happens is the people of God, God provides the sacrifice, God provides the avenue, God provides everything that needs to be taking place for the sin, and the people are simply asked to participate. And the way they participate is to have a Sabbath. In essence, it will be actually a fast. And that'll be their way of participating with what God has already laid out for you. And again, the importance of the 10 comes into being once again. And, again, God does his part, and he asks man to participate and do their part. And thus, you have Yom Kippur that comes up. And so, interesting thing upon this is this Law of Atonement is this whole idea, first of all, the priest, even himself, he enters in, but he doesn't wear all of his big robes and, gold headpiece and all that stuff. He actually just comes in his priestly garment. And again, this is the most holy day in the whole calendar. And so even the priest, he also comes and he has to make atonement for himself. This is a very important point that we don't want to miss, that even this high priest, the first order of business is to make atonement for himself. And then out of that place, when he makes atonement for himself, and then he's able to make atonement for the people and so on and so forth. But we have the introduction now of this thing that we, in our modern English, we know very well. It's called the scapegoat. The scapegoat is who you place all the blame on, even though all the blame is not meant to be taken on this. In other words, this person didn't do everything. I'm watching a series right now. I'm actually really into it. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called House of Cards, and it's a Netflix series. It's all about the inner doings of Washington. I realize it's actually it's an old British show. Actually, it's a BBC show, but now the Americans have taken it and made it better and whatnot. And so you have this whole thing that's going out. But it's amazing how over and over again that in Washington and these political circles, it's that scapegoat. There's one scapegoat after another, and they're pinning the blame on this person, and they're just kind of taking it as a part of the political process in some way. And so we very much understand what scapegoat is all about. But it's interesting how the Lord lays it out here. And the reason why, because it's really unnecessary if you really think about it, for the Lord to really have this provision in, because the one goat and the bull, and they die for the sins of the people. And so it's very present, it's very real, but I think what it does is it creates this incredible visual of not just necessarily, you know, that God has accepted this, but this incredible visual that he has removed the sins from the people. And so what they would do, they actually cast lots, and these are one of the times, and the priest would actually have a gold coin or something, and you know, he put one on the right and one on the left, and they would basically cast lots, and they figure out which one. So the one where the sins were, they would sacrifice this goat. They would take the blood, spill it on the scapegoat, and then they would take the scapegoat. It'd be a ceremonial. They'll take it outside, and they'll drive it away as far from the people as possible. And this is where, you know, throughout the text, you know, the Lord says, you know, I have removed your transgressions as far as the east is from the west. You know, that's how far I've removed my transgressions from you, you know, thus says the Lord. And you see all these passages about, you know, I remember your sins no more. I bear it in the deepest sea. You know, all these things. And it was all that stuff was really coming out of this visual that he gives the Israelite people. That when we confess our sins, then he, you know, through the process of Yom Kippur and through the process of coming into this place, and when that happens, it's amazing. When that begins to flow, people begin to recognize, yes, my sins are separated from me. I think this, actually my ear just popped. Well, praise God, finally, I can hear now. And so, sorry, you didn't hear that. And so, you know, what ends up happening is, I think a lot of times as Christians, we confess our sins to God, but for whatever reason, there seems to be something in us. It's obvious, it's our sinful nature, but it's also the voice of the enemy that keeps telling us over and over again that you're not forgiven. You know, like, this can't be that good. You can't have it this way. You can't just say a prayer, you know, and then, you know, all these horrible things that you've done are totally disregarded and forgiven. No, surely that can't be possible. And I mean, you can imagine not only just the Israelites, but, you know, also us in our own lives. I mean, how many times, I mean, just think about this for a moment. How many times have you asked God to forgive you over and over and over again of the same exact sin? You know, I mean, you know, sometimes with human beings, we have to ask forgiveness over and over and over again, right? If you're in a marriage, you understand this. You will have to ask your wife or vice versa forgiveness all the time. It's just something that's going to happen because we're not God. You know, only God has the ability to absolutely forget. And it's supernatural. It's godlike. You know, the verse that we memorize in GIC. You know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You know, God just totally forgets, you know, what we've done. That's why we can continually come to him spotless and blameless, you know, again, because of what Jesus has done. And really, the whole idea of scapegoat, I mean, we're really talking about the Christ, that Jesus is the ultimate scapegoat. He took on the sins of the world upon himself. And, I guess I don't really deal with this so much now, because I don't know if people are aware or whatnot, but when I was a youth pastor, man, this issue would come up over and over and over again. And just in the sense that a lot of young people, they ask God to forgive them and whatnot, but they just didn't feel cleansed. They felt like, you know, for whatever reason, that they had to keep asking God to forgive them over and over again for the same exact sin, over and over. You know, and so when we're tempted to do that as well, you know, think upon the scapegoat, that this is all the sins are placed and they are removed from the camp. Now, who knows what happens to this goat? I mean, it is just gone. And really, it should give us a really incredible picture, you know, of how that's like. When we confess our sins, when we truly repent and we ask for God's forgiveness, God forgives. He cleanses us. He gives us the power to remain, you know, unstained. And he removes the sins as far as the east is from the west. And I think that's a really, really beautiful picture of what God does for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's one thing that I really respect David in the Bible. You know, David, he had such a close relationship with the Lord, obviously. You know, he was a man after his own heart. And when you look at David, he does something wrong, he cries out to God, and then he just walks away. He's done. You know what I mean? He doesn't lament the fact, he just says, because he knows God's heart. He cries out to the Lord for forgiveness, and then he moves on, and then he's finished. And there's something about, I mean, he really knew who God was. He really knew God's heart. He really knew God's character. And he knew that he can confess his sins, even though he killed somebody, you know, I mean, he committed adultery, you know, all these things. He cries out to God, he takes care of business, and then he moves on. And I think that's important for us to grasp, because, you know, we don't want to, you know, live in guilt. Guilt, the scripture tells us, is supposed to be just momentary. It has its effect, it does its work, but it's supposed to be momentary. And for a Christian to live in guilt perpetually, I think that's a horrible situation to be in, right? And so let's close our eyes this morning. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him whisper into your heart about his forgiveness. Jesus is our scapegoat. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. If you're this morning bogged down by sins that you've committed and asked God for forgiveness, ask the Holy Spirit to just quicken that in your spirit, that you can just move on because you're forgiven. Let there be that visual of not only that sacrifice for that sin, but also the other goat that removes that sin as far away from us as possible. A Christian should not be living in perpetual guilt. We are saved and forgiven of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let's pray this morning. If this forgiveness issue is running in your heart, let's ask God for clarity. Let's pray that scripture. Lord, I have confessed my sins. Lord, you are faithful and just. Not me. You are faithful and just to forgive. Right, that's what God does. He separates your sins as far as the east is from the west. And if you are bogged down, if the enemy is trying to guilt you, the enemy is trying to condemn you, right, just stand firm on God's word. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray over our community. Let's really cry out to the Lord for a lot of our friends and family members that are going through cancer and treatments. And let's pray for God's healing and just His grace to cover their whole family during this time. Let's pray for our community that needs to be saved as well as need to be healed. Let's pray for God's healing and also His word of salvation to go. Thank you. Let's pray for our community that's battling illnesses, and let's ask for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley. Especially Ashley is rounding up her time in Bloom. Let's pray for the leaders there, Ruth and Murray. Ask God's grace to be upon this organization as a minister. Let's also pray for Pastor O and V2R. Pray for Pastor Tang at New Life Church. And let's just lift up Cambodia, ask for God's hand to be upon this country. And really that the Spirit and the gospel would be spread very quickly with great reception. Pray for our board. Let's ask for God's wisdom and just protection over all the families and just a real wisdom of God to flow through each of our members here. Let's pray over our hospitality ministries. Pray for welcoming and barista. Let's pray that God would really give our leaders here a real vision, new vision, a greater understanding. More volunteers would come and really help to create an atmosphere on SP as a very welcoming church. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our house churches meeting tonight. Robbie West, New Conduit Road, Sha Tin, Tai Hang, Elements, and Happy Valley and Island. Let's pray for Holy Spirit's touch upon them tonight. Just thank you again, God, for your sacrifice. We thank you for the cross, God. And God, I think we will not, Lord, completely comprehend, God, what you did for us, Lord. God, we see glimpses in the scriptures here and there, God, but the fullness of that, Lord, we will not comprehend fully, but Lord, but we thank you, Lord. And so we pray, God, that that this day, Jesus, that we would lift you up, God, because you're worthy of it. So watch over us, Father, as we give your Son glory in everything that we do and say today. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.